Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, hola, bonjour, and all that jazz. I'm getting into this bilingual malarkey. Don't come for me. So, I just need to put out a public announcement. I am currently struggling with an ear infection and a throat infection, so let's see how long will last before the throat, the voice, totally goes. I like to throw myself challenges like that, you know. So the problem with the whole voice situation is everything in life, everything in my life, everything in my day to day consists of me talking. So in work I talk because obviously I'm a coach, I'm a therapist, and I do multiple podcasts. To socialise with people, you talk. And I wouldn't even be surprised if I talk in my sleep. So there's not many times in the day where I'm actually quiet or mute. Anyway, we'll wing it. We'll see how we go. How's everybody's week been? Are we all loving life at the minute? I've put a washing out and I'm not sure if it's raining or if I'm seeing things, but it can stay out. I've not really had much of anything this week because I've been unwell. I've really slept a week away, to be fair. Finally went to the doctor yesterday. Got two antibiotics. Two antibiotics. One oral and one that I spray in my ear. That's fun. Not. Because do you know that way? You put it in your ear and then I don't know how long I need to keep, and by the way, I'm tilting my head just now and you just can't even see me. I don't know how long I need to tilt my head for, so that when I put my head back up straight it doesn't just pour back out. So I'm testing the water. I tilt it and then I bring it up a wee bit and I think, oh, I can feel it, and then I tilt it again and then you can feel it going back inside your ear. This is one of the dilemmas in my life at the minute. It's a tricky situation. There's a song, but I can't think it. I can hear it in my head, but I'm not going to put you through that at the minute because, yeah. We might sing later. We'll see how long the voice lasts. So, nothing else is really happening. We're sleeping, then we're sleeping, then we're taking our medication, feeding the kids, and then we're sleeping. And it's as exciting as that. Although, to be fair, my head doesn't feel as if it's going to explode today. So that's a plus. I had a woman come up to me in the shops yesterday in Morrison's, in the supermarket. And she said, oh, excuse me, are you okay? And I said, yeah. And I thought, how do I not look okay? And she says, no, I seen you in a doctor's surgery. And I thought, oh, that poor girl. She looks terrible. I can't remember what she said to me. And I says, oh, I've got an ear infection, blah blah blah. I says, I feel as if my head's going to explode. I said, but hopefully once I get my medication on me I'll be fine. And she's like, I just wasn't sure. And then I came home and I thought, well, that was really nice of her, because nobody else came up and said to me, excuse me, you look as if you should be in a morgue. When I probably did look like that, I'll openly admit it. I don't kid on. I don't tell lies. Not unless I'm going to get in trouble. Anyway, that's a joke. So, who listened last week? And who found it of interest? Did you understand my point? I'm just going to... Who remembers Tic Tacs? Totally changed the subject there. Because I found a packet of Tic Tacs sitting on my desk. Tic Tacs. And now Tic Tacs are bringing out, you used to get Tic Tacs and they were literally, you either got mint or the horrible Origin lime ones. I hated them. I always felt sick with the lime ones and I don't know why. I feel as if maybe, because we used to get these vitamins in school, they were supposed to be fruity, they were not. I think I've spoke about them before on here. If I got the yellow one, I would kid on to teacher, I took it, and then my mum would find it, and then I'd get in trouble. Oh, I was always in trouble. But yeah, I just found a packet of Tic Tacs, and I just thought I'd ask, even though you can't answer me, but I mean, you could answer me, can you and tell me? But yeah, they do different flavours now, and they've got like the ones, and it's two flavours in one. What was the ones I bought the other day for the boys? Raspberry and lemonade or something? Raspberry and lemon? I don't know, something like that. Anyway, back to what we say. Who listened last week and who had a sort of light bulb moment where you've just been that busy going through life, you've not realised that you're transitioning into different parts of your life, which takes effort, it takes work, sometimes can take planning, sometimes it just goes smoothly and, what's the word, we have brain fog, naturally, a natural flow, and that's good if that does happen, it doesn't always happen that way, obviously if, because if we go back to the start again, like we did last week, babies are born. We'll not start with the conception, we'll start with the babies are born, right? So you're born as a baby. If your parents are going to maybe go out to work, then they will find childcare for you, whether it be a nanny, a family member, childminder, nursery, something like that. Daycare. And then, so that takes effort, that takes planning, because you want to get the right person for your child. Then the child's going to school. So again, that's more planning, because you have to apply for schools, you have to decide what schools, you have to get them prepped for it, everything else. And sometimes when a child's due to go to school, they're maybe not ready for it, so you may delay it. Sometimes children are ready before they're due to go to school, and potentially a possibility they go early. That's not as common as delaying. And then obviously you need to, they do the whatever amount of years at school, and when they're going up to the next schools, blah blah blah, you then apply for schools, and then once they get to the end of their school journey, and obviously different countries will be different, but some may finish up different earlier than others depending on what they're planning to do. Then it's, are they going to get a job? Are they going to go to college? Are they going to go to university? So again, that takes planning. So you're looking at, if it's college or university, you're looking into the colleges and the universities that do the course that they're looking to do for their career choice. So you want to see, first of all, you want to see what colleges do them. Then you want to find out what one is better and more suited for you or your child, depending on who's going. Now, college and university, obviously most people will maybe go when they're finishing school, but that can be something that comes into your life later on. So again, regardless of whether you're going straight from school or later down the line, it's another transition period. It's something else that needs to be planned. It's something that you want to try and get perfected the first time, because it's easier to get in as a kind of first choice or whatever, however you want to do it, rather than having to start uni, stop and try and apply for another one. Because essentially then you're maybe starting from scratch again. They might want you to start at the very beginning so that they can see exactly where you are. Obviously planning for a career or your next job or your first job, it's again, it's looking up jobs of interest, jobs that you're qualified for, applying, and then you've got the interview process. And I do think there should be more availability out there for people to be prepped for interviews, because it's very scary. and it's not, I was going to say especially for young people, but in actual fact it doesn't matter what age you are, because you could have been in a job for 35 years and then this is like only your second ever interview ever in your life. So you don't have much experience. Yeah, you have maybe life experience and you maybe don't mind talking to people, but it's still very nerve-wracking going to an interview regardless of how forthcoming you are, how open you are, and how chatty you are. I mean, I could talk the hind legs off a donkey, if you know that saying, but we all get nervous. If you can hear my chair squeaking, I'm sorry. But yeah, there's different things in life that are going to be harder. There's different stages in life that are going to be harder, and it'll be different from you than what it is to your neighbour, or what it is to your best friend, or your cousin that lives in another country. Because we're all different, which means our experiences are going to be different. We're different people. We all have our flaws, and we all have our set of things that we're better at than others. Sorry, my brain's completely went to sleep. So that's like your transition into college and uni and whatever else. And you've got to remember that even when you do get into these things, you're going in blind because you've never studied this before. So just because it's something that you've thought you're for however many years or months or whatever, that that's what you want to do, don't be upset or angry with yourself if it turns out it's not what you expected and you maybe want to change to something else, because that's natural. If you've got no experience in anything apart from maybe hearing about it, watching it, listening about it, then how do you know? It's all trial and error. It's all part of life. Life, your whole life from the day you're born until the day that we're no longer here, is all a learning experience. You can learn something new every day and take something new from every situation that you see yourself in. It just takes a bit of time realising that. So if you do decide that, oh, I don't think this course is for me, speak to the people at the college, speak to the people at the university and see if there's anything that they can do to help you go into the sector that you do want, that you do think that might be more of an interest. So that's your whole sort of college, university, blah blah blah. Then you've got, like we said, we were talking about jobs. Now, some people will want a career, some people just want a job to pay the bills, easy life, enjoy life. And you know what? Either way is fine. Whatever works for you, whatever's best for you, that's absolutely fine. Me personally, when I left school, I was too interested in partying and enjoying life. I just wanted money to buy a car, do my driving lessons, party, get some nice clothes, do blah, do whatever the young girls and boys and whatever done back then. And I guess it wasn't until later down the line I thought, should really have a career. And then obviously I was a single parent, so I just dotted about from job to job and done whatever suited my family needs at the time. And it wasn't until the boys were a bit older and then I found out about training online, studying online. That's when I managed to get into the career that I love and should possibly have done it a long time before now, but I paid for it all myself, so previously I maybe wouldn't have been able to afford it myself. But by this point, I already had a business, so I did have money coming in, so I was able to pay for it myself, and that was fine. And that's the other thing when you think about college and university. In person doesn't work for everybody. In person isn't something that thrills everybody, the thought of it, because you've got people who maybe have agoraphobia, they maybe have anxiety, mental health struggles, physical disabilities, that means that they would struggle to go to an actual place of learning or training every day or however many days they need to go. So if you are thinking about doing getting into any kind of career or training, look online. The only thing I will say is you do have to pay for it yourself. It's not funded by the government. I know some countries you pay for it yourself anyway, but there is obviously countries where it's funded by your government. So have a look online. You've got things like Open University. You still need to go for placements and things like that, but that's something you can speak to them about before you actually enter the course and explain your situation. See what they say before you actually fork out that money. And if there is anything to do with training and learning or whatever else it may be, or anything to do with the next transition in your life, or a transition that you want to do but you're scared to do, or anything to do with life, if you want to send me a message, ask for some advice, we can do that. If you want a bit more than just advice, if you want to actually come for coaching, or if you want to come for counselling, again, we can sort that out for you. But we'll talk about that later. So what other transitions in life have we got? You've got people that want to move abroad. And there's many things you need to think about when it comes to moving abroad. So first of all, the country. Now, personally, I would say don't pick a country you've never been to before. Just because you've maybe heard it's a nice country, at least visit it once. Because it's a lot of money and it's a big step to take if you're going in blind. I had a friend who did move abroad, had never been to the country. She initially, well, actually I've got a couple of friends that done that. So one of them, she was only going for, I think it was like 4 years or something, but it was with her husband's work. Oh, here we go, voice is going. It was with her husband's work, and I can't remember what sector he worked in. It was something like banking or finance or something like that, I'm sure. And so they were going for 4 years initially, and they were kind of hoping that if they had the option to stay longer, then they would, but then they didn't, and a lot of other things came into play, like the country they were in. It was really, the part of the country they were in was really expensive to live. So that put them off. I think they did stay a little bit longer than what they initially had planned. But anyway, it was all through our company's work, our husband's work. So they done all the paperwork and everything for them. And that's the other thing you've got to think about, is a lot of countries you might need either a certain amount of money in your bank to go, or you'll obviously need visas and things like that potentially. You might need somebody to sponsor you that already lives in the country, but this is all dependent on where you want to go as well. So yeah, have a bit of a plan in place, unless you're planning on just going and kind of travelling round a country or travelling round the world, then that's different because you're not staying in one place for too long. But if you want to actually move somewhere, I would test the water first. Go for a wee holiday, see. You could still be having all the plans in place. Not in place, but the ball starting rolling while you're going on these, because you can always pull out. It's easier to pull out before you hand over all that money than it is when you're there and then you need to find a way back and you're getting money. But it's a whole rigmarole. But again, if that's what you want to do and that's been your life goal, do it. Because you don't want to then one day wake up and go, I wish I would have, or I'm gutted I didn't. So yeah, there's everything takes planning. You've got obviously weddings. Weddings take a lot of planning. They take it, and Everybody will say, oh, weddings cost a fortune. Weddings only cost as much as you allow it to cost. Remember that. A wedding will only cost as much as you allow it to cost. Also think about when you're getting married, what are you getting married for? Are you getting married because you want to be married to your lifelong partner, the person that you want to spend the rest of your days with? Or are you getting married because you want to have a big flamboyant wedding? You want to have a big flamboyant party and you want to spend however amount. Now, I'm not judging anybody, and whatever you want to do is up to you and your choice, and it's your money and everything else. But just don't let anybody tell you that it has to cost a certain amount, because it's your day and it'll cost as much as you allow it to cost and you want it to cost. You don't even need to buy your dresses anymore. You can hire dresses. You can obviously hire kilts, or you can buy them, or suits and whatever else. You don't even need to have a million people at your wedding. You can have, just go out for a meal after if that's what you want. Me personally, because I don't like being the centre of the attention, and I've never really been a big one for I want to get married, so I've always said if I was going to do it, it'd be like a wee runaway job. We'll run away, we'll get married, and people might find out, they might not. Depends if I decide to tell them or not. I might just hide that ring. Just wear a glove on my left hand every time I see them. That's just a joke. But yeah, a wedding will cost as much as you allow it to cost. So if people are keeping badgering you, oh, can I bring this person, or you need to invite that person, or you need to do that, you need to have that. If it's not on your list, you don't need to do anything. This is what I find upsetting about a lot of brides and grooms when they're planning their wedding. They feel bullied into inviting people they don't want to invite, or having a certain meal, or having a certain type of day, having day and night, having this, having that, having the next thing, and it was nothing they pictured. So their wedding ends up turning out to be somebody else's wedding, because they actually didn't want any of this stuff at their wedding or on their day or whatever else. People have kind of forced these ideas on them, and they feel as if they can't say no because everybody's expecting it. But stand up, be proud, and say thank you for your input, but I've got my day planned. I know exactly how I want it, and I know what I want, and I know what I don't want. And if that person's going to be there on the day, just say to them, you'll see what it is on the day. Don't even have to tell anybody any of your plans. Obviously tell the person you're going to marry. Don't let them be shocked. Because if you ever watch Don't Tell the Bride. Shocker, isn't it? There's some of them that are really good, and some of them that you're like, oh, why did you trust them? Don't do it. But yeah, me personally, I'd be like, I do, or I do not. Depends how I feel on the day, whether I like you or not that day. I mean, again, beggars can't be choosers. I'm single. I've been single for a long time, by choice, by the way. But I don't think I'll ever say the I do thing. I genuinely don't. It's not in my narrative, if you want to say it like that. It's not on my bucket list. That's probably a better way of saying it. It's not on my bucket list. We've said that a million times. There's people out there who absolutely love the thought of getting married, and they've got it planned to every fine detail from when they're a child, and I love that for them. I think that's amazing. I just want to survive life. I don't want much. I just want to survive life. Live a long, happy life. Sometimes being single makes you happier. I'm joking. Or am I? Listen, I'm happy at the minute, and that's all I can ask for. Happy and healthy. I mean, say healthy. Semi-healthy. Again, not a joke. So, we're doing the babies, we're doing the getting married, we're doing the getting into careers and studying and everything else. But then what happens when the babies decide they're not your baby anymore and they want to move out? So then you're helping them transition into their next phase of their life. But what does that mean for you? That means the next phase of your life. That means that something's changing in your life. And a lot of people, I don't know whether it's being naive or whether it's they don't want to think about it or what it is, but you obviously get the emptiness syndrome. And that's when the family flees the nest and it's just you or just you and your partner and the house is all quiet and the whatever. And it can, for some people, feel as if their heart's been ripped out because you've done everything or a lot for your children from, not even from born, basically from conception, because you had to make sure that baby survived the pregnancy. Then obviously you brought them up and you done everything you needed to do for them, and then you, and then they just go, live their best life, which is what they're supposed to do. You done it, and it's what they're supposed to do. But then what do you do now that you don't have to make their dinner every night? You might still have to make their dinner every night for a wee while because they might forget to buy shop. You might still need to do their washing as well because they might decide they don't know how to use the washing machine or they're too busy working or partying to do any washing. You might get the phone call on the Sunday night saying, "Mum, can you wash my boxers?" So yeah, make plans for you for when that time does come, and don't wait until that time comes, says me, who still does everything for my boys. But that's not a bad thing. I enjoy doing it. But don't wait until they're gone before you start having a life, because by that point, everybody else is already having their life, and then you're like, right, well, who do I phone? Who do you want to call? Ghostbusters. So plan, think about the things that you might want to do. Maybe if you do have a partner or a husband or a wife, you might want to start seeing different parts of the world that your children didn't want to go to because it was boring, a boring place. But boring can be a nice place when you get older. Sometimes, I mean, some people as they get older still want to party and that's brilliant, but everybody's got different hobbies, everybody's got different things they want to see and want to do. So plan for that time in your life. And it's not to say that you're at retirement stage, so you may still be working, so at least you've got some kind of social interaction that way. Because if your children start having children, you might feel as if, oh, do you know what, I want to look after the grandkids when they're at work and help them out a wee bit. Don't force that on them, because they might want their children to go to nursery and play with other kids. So listen, it's all about communication, it's all about making sure everybody's on the same page and not taking offence when you're not needed anymore. Because you will be needed, just not as often. It's not somebody saying, I don't need you anymore. It's just somebody saying, Mum, I'm a big boy now. Or Mum, I'm a big girl now. I can do it. You taught me well. So take it as a compliment. That doesn't mean that you don't teach your children how to cook and clean just so that they stay with you forever. There are some people out there that might do that, because they genuinely want their children to stay with them forever. But there's only going to be a certain chapter, a certain space in your life where you're going to have the time to enjoy before the grandkids do come, or before, God forbid, it doesn't happen at all, or until really later on in life. But you may need to go into care homes or nursing homes or whatever else because you may have ailments that mean that you can't live on your own, or it's too much for your partner or too much for your children, and you don't really want to be holding your children back so that they can look after you. So that's why there is people out there that can take on that role for them. So these are other things that you need to plan as well. And obviously we all know that we all plan funerals, we all think about funerals, and we all maybe don't plan it down to the fine detail. Some people will already have planned it down, if not everybody, it's the same with care homes and nursing homes. Let your family know what your preference would be. Doesn't mean to say that that's exactly how it's going to go, because obviously it'll all depend on your needs at the time. But that's the one thing that I would say, is constantly communicate. And it might be conversations that people don't want to have, but they need to be had, because sometimes when you're in the moment, it's too late to ask the question about what would your preference be, what is it you would want, how do you want this to go, you know? Don't want you to be a Debbie Downer or anything like that, but listen, some of the stories I've heard for the nursing homes, they're grandy old buggers. My friend worked in a nursing home, care home, nursing home, I don't know, one of the two, while she was at uni. And I tell you some of the stories. You had, God love them, a wee man and woman, they both had dementia. One was foreign, I think he was Italian and she was Scottish or English, I can't remember. And they both had their own husbands and wife who weren't within the care home, they lived at home. But they told everybody they were married. He spoke Italian and she didn't understand a word he was saying, and she spoke English and I don't know if he understood what she said, but anyway, they were married apparently, but they weren't really. Then you had the wee old man that used to always say to my pal, can you put cream on his private parts? She always had to say no, because he just wanted a wee rub and a tickle. That's me putting it politely. I remember when I used to work in the hospital, I was a hairdresser in the hospital, so there was an actual hairdresser shop within the hospital, and then we used to go round and do the wards. And when I used to go to the dementia ward, it was awful, not in a bad way, like, no, I'll tell you, I'll fill you all in. So I'm trying to think how to word this. I was only 17 at the time. And when I was 17, although I was a party animal and everything else, and I was very comfortable talking to people, and there was my phone again, I was also still a wee bit shy in certain situations. So this particular day, I'd went round the wards with my boss, the woman that owned the hairdressers, and she found this highly amusing. Are you strapped down and ready for it? I don't know if I've told you one of these stories before. It's a very well-known story about me. So, I was washing this old lady's hair, elderly lady's hair. Obviously, I just said we were in a dementia ward, so we all know people with dementia, it's not just about them losing their short or long term memory. It's also about fear. They're scared of certain situations. They're scared of faces they don't know or don't remember. There's a lot that comes with dementia, not just a case of they forget. So, if you think about when you're in a hairdresser's and you're getting your hair washed, you're lying back, aren't you? You're nice and relaxed and blah, blah, blah. But because we were on the ward, I had to lean her forward in a sink, basin, whatever you call it, to wash her hair, which isn't the most comfortable to start with. Well, this wee old bugger. Remember, I'm 17. Started shouting, nurse, nurse, help. She's trying to drown me. She's trying to kill me. She's trying to throw me down the stank. I nearly died on the spot. The nurse came running in because she kept shouting and screaming. And I just stood back with my hands in there, see, as if like it was the police coming in. And I went, I swear to God, I never done anything. And the nurse started laughing. She went, it's alright, I know you never, it's fine. So whatever her name was, say it was Betty. She's like, right, Betty, come on you. The wee girl's just trying to wash her hair and she's trying to do something nice for you and everything else. No, no, she's trying to drown me. She's trying to kill me. I know, and I'm like, oh my god, I don't want to wash her hair anymore, like, can somebody else do it? So anyway, we get her done, and that was fine. Then there was a wee old man who just walked about the ward with his bit hanging out, we'll put it like that. Don't really want to give too much graphic detail. He was living his best life, just, I was terrified. And luckily the ward doors were locked and he didn't know how to get out without the want of trying. Like, he tried daily, he tried continuously. He'd walk to one door, exit door, and couldn't figure that one out. So he'd walk to the other exit door and try and figure that one. No, he couldn't get out, he was stuck. Then we were leaving, we'd packed up all our stuff, we were just about to leave, and there was this wee man who, I don't know if he was bedbound or if he was just in his bed at this particular moment. And he's shouting, "Here, hen, here, come here." And I'm looking at my boss and she's like, "See what he wants?" And I'm like, "Yeah, you alright?" He says, "They're holding me hostage in here." He says, "Gonna go get your car, bring it to the window and help me escape. Get me out that window." And I'm looking at my boss, she's like, "Aye, aye, we'll come and get you." And he's like, "I know you're good, safe." And I was like, "Oh my god, get me out of here." And then after that, she made me go to the wards myself. So because they all interacted with me in that way, was that my punishment? Did I do something wrong in that job? I mean, I loved it. We also used to go to, I used to go to a brain injury ward, and there was one particular man, can still see his wee face to this day. He wasn't old. He was, it's very hard to tell their age, because obviously sometimes with like brain injury and different things, different health issues, it can make you look older than what you actually are. So I would say he was maybe in his early 30s, if that. Anyway, I don't know the story behind his brain injury, but he was bedbound, and God love him, he always had a smile on his face when I went to visit, and I would just talk away to him, because he was still a human being. He may not have been able to communicate verbally back to me, but I could tell by his reactions that everything I was saying, I was doing okay, considering I was 17. And the nurse just always saying that, I sometimes wonder, did she just say that to me to make me feel better, or was it genuinely true? She's like, "Do you know, he only ever smiles when you come in to do his hair." And do you know, that used to melt my heart. Oh, loved that wee man, loved him. He was one of my favourite wee customers, clients, whatever, when you were going round the wards, like going doing his hair, because he never tried to get me jailed. He never tried to say I was trying to murder him, or I was trying to make him help him escape out of ward. Anyway, so yes, there's different transitions in life, and it's all about communication, and it's all about asking for help and support, or asking if somebody wants help or support going along the way. Because sometimes you can notice that somebody needs a wee bit of something, and they might be too scared to ask. So volunteer the help, volunteer the support. And that's not just about transitioning through life, it's anything in life. If you see somebody's a bit down or a bit lonely or a bit of this or a bit of that, what harm is it in saying, "Is there anything I can do to help?" Or, "Do you want to go for a walk? Want a wee cup of tea? Want to go out for lunch? Want to go for dinner? Want to come to mine for dinner?" Because remember, it doesn't have to be that you go out somewhere for a meal to enjoy somebody's company, especially if you're lacking funds. Invite them to your house, and it may be that one of you does, there can be three friends, one does starter, one does dessert, one does main meal, or somebody brings a bottle of wine or a bottle of non-alcoholic something if you don't drink, and then a main meal and a wee dessert or something. There's always a way around doing things that doesn't have to cost an arm and a leg. And it's about looking outside the box. I guess it's also about how much you want to spend time with that person, how much you want to help that person, how much you would like their input into the support that you might need. But then if you don't want to, as somebody that you know. You could ask your manager. You could ask your GP. You could phone up a helpline. You could look online to see where you look for support. Obviously, I can help with certain things. There may be things I can't help with. And I'll be honest with you, I would never take on a client where I'm going to make their issues worse. Because, one, it's not morally right, and two, I wouldn't be doing my job if I done that. So, if anybody is looking for counselling or any kind of coaching, whether it be within your personal life or your work life, business, then send me a wee message or fill out the contact form on my website, which is thereebootsanctuary.com, and I'll get back to you. And I usually try and get back to you the same day, but it may be like the next day, so within 24 hours, we just say. You can message me on any of my social media pages. So you can do it on the ones for the podcast, which is rebootyourthoughtspodcast@gmail.com, or that's email, sorry. You've got Reboot Your Thoughts Podcast on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. Then you've got the Reboot Sanctuary on the same social media sites. And the email for that is thereebootsanctuary@gmail.com. I can feel the temperature's going up. We're getting that sticky, clammy way. So I'm just going to finish off by telling you, if anybody's seen any of my social media pages today, actually, give me a second. I'm just going to check something. Sorry, I was just checking there was no questions or anything to do with today's topic. So if anybody did see on social media, I was saying that I got a little email last week with some good news. So I can't remember what day it was. I think it was Friday, maybe Thursday. It was either Thursday or Friday last week. I got an email to say that this podcast, so Reboot Your Thoughts Podcast, has officially been monetized. And I just want to thank all you for it, because you have to have X amount of listeners and downloads, etc., before you can be considered for it. Obviously, Mother 2, they're not monetized as yet because they're very, very new. So I need to thank yous, because all of yous turning up every week. And obviously, I love doing my podcast, and I've done it for free for so long, and I would continue to do it for free because obviously I have my business anyway. But just getting that wee bit of, I suppose you can see it as being a wee sort of, it's your wage, but it's also a bit of a thank you, isn't it, for putting that out there. I don't know what's happening with the Gossip with Friends podcast, because Danielle's really busy, I'm really busy and whatever else, but the business one is coming back, I think, next week. It should have been back before now, but then I had a couple of deaths and things to deal with, so it never came back when it was supposed to. I'm hoping to get it out next Monday, but that, I've not recorded it yet, so that's all dependent on the voice, and whether that stays over the next couple of days, because I might try and record it tomorrow if I've got a voice, because I think after that I might be really busy. But anyway, I just want to thank everybody for continuing to support, in the sense that you either follow me on social media, or whether you follow me on social media and on the listen, or whether you just listen, whatever it may be, I just want to thank everybody for continuing, because this just helps us as well as a family, because come August, my hours of work are going to have to maybe temporarily change again, because my son's going into his next transitional phase in his life. He's starting college, but obviously some of yous may know, some of yous may not, that he's autistic, so it's a bit harder, so I need to find a workaround for that. But we won't know about that until August. But yes, just a wee thank you, because I see that as, it's just a positive. It's just, it means that I can grow the podcast, I can do more things with it, I can do more things for the listeners as well, and my followers on social media, all these different things. It can help so many different people, and I'm not saying it's going to make a lot of money, but even if it made me 1 pence every month, it's still 1 pence more than what I've got now. Do you know what I mean? Watch the pennies and the pounds will look after themselves. So, yes, that's my little bit of good news. I thought it was good news. I thought it was positive. I was absolutely buzzing because it just made me feel as if I was doing something right. Everything's, when things go forward or things have a positive spin, then it means it's heading in the right direction, and that's all we can ever ask for. So yes, that is that. But I am going to go for now, rest my voice, because the ear's getting sore, the throat's getting sore, the head's getting sore, and I'm starting to sweat. So I think I need to go and take my next dose of antibiotics and painkillers. But if anybody's got any suggestions of topics they would like me to talk about in the coming month or two, and I can add them to the list, then send me a wee message and I'll add it on. If anybody wants to discuss anything privately and you don't want me to discuss it on here, again, just let me know and we can arrange that. But for now, I am going to go. I hope you all have a fabulous week. Fantastic week. I think I was trying to say a bit of both there at the one time and it just came out wrong. And hopefully we'll have a better voice and a better oomph, and we might get some singing next week. You never know. Oh, here I'll be a year older come the next episode. Oh, dearie me. I'm transitioning into old age. Although my sons would say that that's already happened. Anyway, take care, have fun whatever you are doing, reach out if you need some help or support, and I will speak to you all soon. Bye bye.